Hi guys, this is Nancy Perez, your host. Welcome back to Life Cope LLC's podcast. The show is strictly opinionated. I am not a licensed psychiatrist or therapist. I give advice to those that can use it. Today's show is a continuation of my last show on self-love. I'm actually at Here Hears Poetry event on self-love. We had a wonderful evening. If you haven't attended one of their events, I highly recommend you do. I will be at the queer event coming up at the end of March, I believe March 24. I will have more on that later. Today's show is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is the best app that you can have on your phone. It will save your spell checks from all your websites and your text messages. Forget spell check horror stories ever again. You can download that by going to livecopeappllc.com/Grammarly. So today, throughout the show, I'm going to have a couple of poets reading some poems, and then we will be discussing them. My first poet is going to be Savage Intellect. So please give a big round of applause.
The name of my poem is Fat. Fat is not synonymous with bad. The fat girl that you see walking down the street, you have no idea how she got that way. We have things like fat camps and the constant bombardment of weight loss commercials and the airbrushed fake magazine covers that rest in our grocery stores, hovering just above the plethora of no-no snacks. Fat is not synonymous with ugly. I am so sick of hearing backhanded comments like, "Wow, you're so pretty for, you know," or "Where do you find such cute clothes in your size?" Fat is not synonymous with unhealthy habits. "Well, maybe you should cut back on your calorie intake," or "Oh, you shouldn't eat so late at night." Do you even know my calorie intake? Do you know why I have to eat late at night? Yes, I ate a bowl of ramen last night at 11 o'clock, but guess what else? That's all that my sick, broken body would let me eat for the last 2 days. Fat is something that I am, not who I am. And if you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you.
Guys, that was Savage Intellect. That was so amazing and so beautiful. I love it. That's right. Fat is just that, a word. It simply describes something that is in our body, but it does not describe who we are, what we stand for, what we believe in. Fat is just a word. So, Savage Intellect, when did you start having issues with food or just body image issues?
I've always had body image issues because when I was younger, in high school, before I had my kids, blah, 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 I was very small. Like, I graduated from high school at 120 pounds. I now weigh 326. A lot of people think, oh, she had kids, she got married, she let herself go. I've been married twice. This time around, I've been married, it'll be 12 years, in a couple of months. And that's not the case at all. What happened is I was working as a chef. This is the strangest thing. I was working as a chef. I loved it. That's not what I went to college for. My dad was really mad when I told him I was changing professions.
I could imagine.
Because he had paid for all the money, and I was just like, I don't like it. I'm going to do something else. So I started cooking, and I did that for 17 years before I got sick. And I came from not knowing shit about cooking at all, like giving my first husband food poisoning twice. To being an executive chef and a fixer. And what a fixer is if your restaurant is having trouble with their food cost or their employee, the hours, the wages, stuff like that, I would come into your restaurant, I would look, and I would like troubleshoot your restaurant and then tell the executive there how they could better manage the restaurant so that they could be more lucrative. Wow. And I would bounce from restaurant to restaurant doing that, but I also always had my own home restaurants. And I've worked at a million restaurants downtown, like Sugar's, Dale Street. Dale Street was my favorite. I baked their bread for them every morning. Cooking was really my passion. I really, really loved it. And then one day I remember being on a camping trip, and I just was so nauseous, and I couldn't figure out why, and I thought, oh, I caught a virus. So, you know, we left the camping trip early, And then from that, it just escalated. Like, the nausea never seemed to go away. It was always there. So then I started going to the doctors, and there was the tests and the blah, 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 blah. And finally, the diagnosis that I got about 8 years ago was something called gastroparesis. And okay. what that means, literally, gastro is stomach, and paresis means paralysis.
Okay.
There's a motion inside your digestive tract that's called peristalsis. And it's kind of a wave motion that kind of just pushes the food down into the next part of your digestive tract. My esophagus has that motion. My bowels have that motion. My stomach does not, because something happened to me somewhere along the line that the vagus nerve was damaged, which okay. made my stomach forget how to move to push the food down. So essentially, when I do eat, which is not very often, I find myself having to think about, you know, do I want to eat at this function tonight? What do I have to do tomorrow? Because I know I'm going to be sick all day because my stomach doesn't digest food. There's no cure for this illness. It breaks my heart personally because, like I said a few weeks ago when I did the Storytellers, this is the most insidious illness that can befall someone whose life revolves around food. Being a chef, that was so important to me. Tasting all the things, making people happy, seeing the happy faces and the mmms, and I still can see all of that, but I can't eat anymore. And when I stopped being able to eat, a lot of people think, oh, if you stop eating, that means you lose weight. No. When you stop being able to eat like a regular person, you start to gain weight because whatever you do eat, your body holds on to the fat. So then I jumped from 200 pounds all the way up to, I think at my highest point, I was 410. And now I've come down to 320. And I've had to gradually, you know, come down, because I've had to have so many surgeries due to this illness. As far as my body image, it's really the most difficult part for me is with my husband. Because when I met my husband, I was 200 pounds, which is still pretty heavy. But given the fact that I'm 6 feet tall, I was like a slim, thick chick. And like, that's what was in. Like, I had yes. the hips and I had the booty and I had gotcha. The boobs. But now I got the gut too. And I'm no. just like, and I hate it. And I just, like, I find myself even being subconscious with him. And we've been together for 18 years. I find myself like only wanting to take a shower when he's not at home because I don't want him to see me putting lotion on my big fat belly. And that's really, really difficult for me. But him being the wonderful, elevated man that he is, constantly speaks positively to my ego and tells me how beautiful I am, makes a special point when he embraces me to touch my belly, even though I still cringe sometimes. And as the years go by, it gets easier. And the only thing that bothers me now is that I don't want to die fat, because eventually this illness will kill me. And I have said to my husband, I don't want to die fat, you know, because I don't want to be an embarrassment to you. And like, my urn is going to be so big when you create me. And he debunks all that just with love and affirmation. And my children do. And my mom does. And I just am really lucky that I have such a good support and family.
As they should, Savage, as they should. Honestly, that's what family and that's what a partner is there for. And I thank you for being with us today. This is so powerful. This is so encouraging for someone that is on their self-love journey. And to have you here in front of me, you are absolutely stunning woman. I know we're on a podcast and you guys can't see her. But she's beautiful. She has the coolest piercings all over her face. Her smile is lighting up the room right now. I wish you could see it, you guys. I really wish you could. And that's what it's all about. So when your partner tells you, believe him. Because that right there is self-love. When you believe those around you that want to love you, that want to care for you, that's love, honey. That's yeah. self-love right there. Oftentimes when we can't love ourselves, we can't accept the love of others. That is the hardest thing to accept.
Yeah.
The love for ourselves. Because if we can love ourselves, we can allow our partners, our family members, our children to love us. Savage, thank you so much for being with me today. If you are ever around a Hear Hear Poetry event, I hope you can catch Miss Savage Intellect and hear one of her poems. Thank you for sharing this one with us today. Guys, a big round of applause for Miss Savage Intellect. Up next, I have Miss Ashley Cornelius with us. She is attending Women of the World Poetry Slam, which is only 96 women from around the world attending. So we are very honored to have her on tonight. Please give a big round of applause to Miss Ashley Cornelius.
My mental health has always been in question. You might want to talk to someone about that became the epigraph of every morning. I refused help because stigma is a four-letter word taken with a glass of water and food on your stomach. I'm not ready to swallow down my mental health, so I read that depression should be treated with running shoes and an open road, that mental illness is less severe than a broken bone, that believing in myself will fix my self-esteem. Just stop thinking about your body and focus on the things you love, and it's just not that easy. My thoughts go a little bit like this. I love Adventure Time. It's one of my favorite shows, but no one will ever watch it with you because you're so fat. The Ice King loves to steal princesses, but he could never carry you because you're so fat and he couldn't get you off the ground. Princess Bubblegum is the smartest person on the show, but smarts mean nothing when you're this fat. Because fat is frightening, and everyone is trying to escape it like refugees in a war-torn land, and skinny is the ultimate asylum. Yet I am trapped in disaster and trauma within my own body, forced to take shelter under the holy sheets that I call self-worth. There are battlegrounds in dressing rooms, and I lay dying on cold tile floors, spilling inadequacies and a size is never meant to fit me. See, fat is my reality. I know that fat is fun and body positivity is in and curves are accepted and stomachs are embraced, but I am struggling to speak louder than my thoughts, to bring democracy to my anarchy. This is fat. And only a few people know that the language of my native tongue is shame. My bulges, ripples, and overhanging disappointments are targets for natural disasters. Just thought I'd let you know what being fat really feels like. Now, I know you like to try it on when it's girls' night and you want validation that your dress isn't too tight, so you say, gosh, I'm so fat, right? Good friends to the rescue. You're so beautiful and skinny. I would kill for clothes to fit around me. You are a visitor to my island, collecting postcards and frequent flyer points, but I am Hotel California trapped. Like the A between the F and the T, rattling cages my soul in this body, clang shivs against my big bones, and it's hard to stay positive. When at worst your body is a gag reflex, and at best a fetish, men are concerned about my BMI on dating sites. No fat girls, fuck the fat girl. To get to the hot chick, use my fatness to explore your 40 and tics. But it's more than the immaturity of fuckboys on Tinder. In 2015, Oprah Magazine answered the question, can I pull off a crop top? They replied, if and only if you have a flat stomach, feel free to try one. I didn't eat that day, knowing I'd never be free to. That if and only if govern every second of my day, my freedom is only artificially created. Moved from white men and house duties to body shaming and self-hating, and I am still subservient to these words. And I am so tired of crying when I read this poem. But you know what, Oprah? I fucked up. Because I always buy crop tops, and I pierced my belly button, my two-pronged revolution that I may never know how to love every part of my body, but I can adorn it, and I can start to look at it, and I can love it because my revolution is two-pronged, and it goes like this. This is the body I live in, and this is a body that deserves love.
Wow. So, thank you. That was absolutely amazing. And you know what? We all have those good and bad days. And sometimes the whole body positivity is thrown down our throats so much. And we are told, love yourself every day. And it's okay to have these ripples. And it's okay to have these lumps here and there. But sometimes you're not feeling it. And you know what? That's okay too. Because that is self-love. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. And it's all about the balance of it all. So Ashley, Women of the World Poetry Slam, that's huge. Yes. Congratulations. That's awesome. So how did you win that? How did you get into that? Tell me more.
Yeah, so Here is a nonprofit poetry organization, and they hosted a Women of the World Poetry Slam. And so I competed on the local level, and I won that competition and became their representative for Dallas, Texas, for the Women of the World National Championship.
Wow, that's really impressive. So I